Hello, everyone. Welcome to the North Church Podcast. We are so excited you're here. At North Church, our vision is to love God, love people, and follow Jesus. We'll be here every week with a new encouraging message to help you grow in faith and your relationship with God.
Good morning. Hope everybody's doing good today. I'm excited to be sharing God's word with you. I want to give a quick shout out to our incredible worship team. I think all over the place, we are so blessed to have a worship team that does what they do week in and week out. And I thank them for the time that they invest into the kingdom of God. Can we give them a big round of applause? It's good stuff. Before we get to moving forward, I want to update you on the Kenya offering. We had Empower Weekend last week, had some of our friends from Kenya here with us sharing God's word on Thursday and Sunday. It was a powerful weekend. And during that process, Pastor Rodney shared with us, he didn't know whether it might have been something that he had eaten or the voice of God speaking to him, but we're banking on God spoke to him to give $100,000 through Heart for His House to the Kenyan endeavors. And he asked you to make a commitment to that. And I'm excited to say today that we have over $70,000 of that has come in. Come on, you can give yourself a hand. If you have not had an opportunity to give to this endeavor yet, we're believing that other $30,000 is going to come in this weekend. We've got the Kenya offering Heart for His House 2019. That's what you can designate that to, whether it's by check on your giving envelope or the drop-down menu in any online giving that you might be doing. If you're wondering, who are we giving to? Well, I can tell you firsthand, I've seen with my own two eyes and I've built relationships with these leaders. It's phenomenal what God is doing through these women and men in Kenya and the life change that is happening. If you sow seed, you're sowing seed in some incredibly fertile ground, okay? Pastor Rodney mentioned the XO series. Today, we're going to be dealing with the topic of boundaries. But before we get into boundaries, how about a Russell story? I find that it's always a little better if we lead with a Russell story, you know? Some of you are looking at me like, I have no idea who you're talking about. Russell just happens to be my 7-year-old son. He is the joy of our lives, and if you've met Russell, you'll never forget Russell, okay? First of all. Secondly, he is the content for many messages, sermons, small group meetings, and teachings, and God is using Russell stories to change the world around the globe because he opens the heart of people. So here we go. Lindsay and I, several months ago, were sitting on our couches on a Saturday afternoon, just relaxing. And I try not to open my email or work too much on the weekends, but occasionally I'll open up the email, check through, scan, just make sure I'm not missing something mission critical for either the church or just personal. On that afternoon, I scroll through and there happens to be an email from Amazon that catches my attention. Look over at Lindsay, say, hey, have you ordered something from Amazon recently? She says, I can't remember. If I did, and I knew that I hadn't ordered anything in the last couple of days. So Lindsay opens up the account, begins looking through our orders. She turns to me and says, someone has hacked our account. And I said, well, what did they order? She proceeds to read the list off to me. I bet you're interested in this, aren't you? The first one was a drone, a dress-up costume, a deluxe birdhouse, not the kind of birdhouse that a couple of birds are in, but a birdhouse that a flock could be in, a birdhouse that costs $200. The next was a gaming system, and my favorite, to save the best for last, a dirt bike. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. A dirt bike. I looked at Lindsay and I said, baby, someone didn't hack us. Russell Smith hacked us. To be honest with you, I was pretty upset. But there was also a piece of me as a father that I'm kind of proud of him. As weird as that sounds, he's a 7-year-old genius. He took his Kindle Fire Kids version, somehow logged out of the kids side of it and logged into my account, and then proceeded to log into my Prime account with Amazon and make his Christmas list and then place the order. Thank God for Amazon. They were very gracious, and within 24 hours, we were able to return everything and get our money back. Needless to say, we're talking about boundaries today. Good stuff. So how many of us struggle to set boundaries in life? Whether that be at work, maybe you struggle setting boundaries on your phone or some other device. Maybe you struggle with boundaries with friendships or perhaps family. I think all of us could probably think of a relationship that if we open our hearts and our minds to Jesus today, that he would lead us to do something different with that relationship. Set a boundary, have a crucial conversation, or maybe just change your approach to the whole situation. The story of Judas in the Gospels is so intriguing to me. In particular, his relationship with Jesus. Judas was one of the 12 closest to Jesus. Crazy to think about. He was a competent and educated man, and he took on responsibility. Judas is probably the kind of person that you and I would want to work for us. He's the one that follows through and does what he says that he's going to do. He's the one that helps hold all the other employees accountable to the way things are supposed to be done around here. He is that guy, kind of like the Margot Ginsers of the 12 disciples. If you don't know Margot, she works on staff here. She's actually in the room right now. She is unbelievable. She gets things done. She rocks things out. When she knows of something that needs to be dealt with, she just jumps right on it. And then she doesn't mind having an honest conversation and saying, hey, this is what we need to be doing. And I love that about her. She hasn't sold us out for any silver lately, but we're waiting. So Margot, I apologize for comparing you to Judas, the character no one wants to be compared to. The scripture is clear that Jesus knew Judas was the one that was going to betray him. In fact, he knew that Judas would literally sell him out. It's where the phrase came from. But get this, Jesus didn't try to talk Judas out of it. He simply let him know he was aware that Judas was going to be the one to betray him. Think about that with us. He didn't try to convince him, coerce him, persuade him, manipulate him, but most of us would. If you had someone that you cared for and you had spent a considerable amount of time for and you knew that they were heading down the wrong path, what would your temptation be? You would do almost anything within your power to help them get out of that. But Jesus didn't model that for us in his relationship with Judas. In fact, Jesus doesn't model that throughout Scripture. Jesus knew a simple principle. You are responsible for you. You can't be responsible for me, and I can't be responsible for you, but you can be responsible for you. And that is your lot in life and what God has given you specifically as an assignment. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13 lays this out for us a bit. It says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It's your salvation. It's God at work in you. You are responsible for you. As a young pastor, I had a tendency to always try to rescue people. Always. I can still fall into that trap even today, but I'm more aware and I've worked really, really hard to break those habits. Really hard. It's kind of like the lost puppy syndrome. Anytime I see someone hurting, I just gravitate towards it. Gotta be careful with that. I remember a family years ago now that I poured my life into them. I spent time away from my family for them. I spent time away from church for them. I did everything that I could possibly do to help them in the areas of marriage, children, finance, and so much more that I can't even talk about today. I invested everything. I remember leaving their house one night, being away from my family. And I began to pray to God on the way home, say, God, am I even making a difference? And the simple answer was no. Not because I didn't want to be a good pastor. Not because I didn't want to be a good friend. But the answer was no, because there's no real change going on. Because the bottom line is they didn't really want to change. And then the voice of the Holy Spirit, God himself, aka Lindsay Smith, my beautiful wife, spoke it to me really plainly. She looked me in the eyes and she said, they aren't changing, and you're killing yourself and you're killing our family. And I said, yes, ma'am. And began to make the necessary adjustments. My wife's not really God, by the way. That was a joke. She kind of comes across like God sometimes. So to rescue someone doesn't mean that you're loving them. Somebody needs to write that down today. To rescue someone does not mean that you're loving them. Get this. In fact, you could be doing the exact opposite. Because God uses pain and suffering and hardships to grow us and develop us and to keep us in this cycle of learning and life that helps us become the best version of ourselves. So when we get in the business of rescuing people, we can actually be slowing down their growth and keeping them from being the man or the woman that God wants them to be. It's not your job to carry someone else's weight. Jesus did not rescue Judas. Judas was responsible for Judas. So God gave us this gift called will, or willpower. And it is simply this, the power of choice. It can be used for good, and it can be used for bad. If you think back to Genesis, early on, the creation of man and woman, and you look at that example, you see that they had the power to choose what they would do or wouldn't do. Their choices actually created their new reality. In fact, their choices created our new reality. It's called a fallen world. I think as Christians, we've got a couple of things down. Maybe not acting on them, but a few things in our heads and our hearts, we understand that God gave us himself to live within us, to lead and guide and direct us. If we receive Jesus and we're following him, that God lives in us and guides us through our lives. I think we get that. We don't always practice it, but I think we get it. Secondly, I think we get that he gave us personal relationships with brothers and sisters that we could go the journey with, to grow one another, to help walk through stuff together, to hold one another accountable, and to have fellowship. Where we fall really short is the inattention of the power of choice. The power to choose. How do we know this? Because as human beings, we blame stuff on everybody else but us. It's his fault or her fault, or my dad did this, my mom did this, I was raised this way, and these things are the reason why I am the way that I am. The person we like to blame stuff on the most as Christians is Satan. It's bound to all be his fault. No, some of it's just ours. The power of choice. If you look at that passage of Adam and Eve, the story there, Satan was punished. That's true. But those that received the most severe punishment, Adam and Eve. Why? Because God gave them the power of choice and they chose wrongly. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. It says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Pay attention, there's a lot of boundaries in this little passage here. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Here's a profound thought. No is a complete sentence. The word no, period, is a complete sentence. We feel this need and desire to explain and excuse away everything in our lives. Stuff that doesn't even matter. Someone will message you and say, can you do this? And you feel the need to go into a 14-paragraph explanation of everything you've done this week and the reason why you can't meet up with them. That's not healthy. You don't owe an explanation to anyone. The proper way to do that would just say, I'm unavailable. So let me give you a couple of practical examples on this, okay? Someone texts me and say, hey, Pastor Clint, want to get together for lunch, which happens pretty regularly. I go and I look at my calendar and that date is full. Should I respond to them and say, I am a father of four. My life is really chaotic and there's really only a few nights that I have at home and I spend my days working hard for the church and the weight of the ministry is starting to weigh me down. I just don't know if I can take it anymore. No, I'm not available to meet that day. No, that's ridiculous. That's unhealthy. That's an exaggeration. But people, that's where we live. Let's be real. A good example of how to do that would be text you, check your calendar, unavailable. Send a message back, I'm unavailable that day. If they want to schedule something else, they can simply text you back and ask for another date. Or you can say, I am available on this date. That's healthy. Let me give you another practical example. Family's coming to town. Come on, people. This is classic right here. Your family's coming to town from Dallas-Fort Worth. They call you on their way to make you aware that they're heading your way. And you have no idea they're coming this weekend. You got a couple decisions to make. Perhaps the best decision would be to not answer the phone on a Friday afternoon, ever. The right way to deal with it would be answer the phone. Oh, glad to hear you're coming. I want you to know that we have a very busy weekend scheduled up. And we're going to follow through with that weekend. You're more than welcome to come. but we've got things going on. That's boundaries. Another way to handle it would be say, I don't think this weekend's going to work out. Let's schedule something. When we know you're coming, we can take downtime and spend more quality time with you because we care about you coming to visit us and see us. That's healthy. Let's stop pushing guilt and shame on someone when they don't do what we want. And let's quit allowing others to do that to us. The guilt and the shame, it's this whole matter we're talking about here. You don't have to walk through life feeling guilty and shameful for not being able to go do something for someone. That is ridiculous. I was sitting over here during the 10 o'clock, during worship. I felt like God was speaking to me. Clint, someone needs to know that they can't live their life trying not to disappoint people. You can't live your life trying not to be a disappointment. That's called dysfunction. And it will chew you up. So, pretty serious topic, right? Let's pause for station identification and a little bit of bonus teaching. Is everybody with me? On Thursday night, I had a little bit of a giggle. It was everyone that was older in the crowd laughed at the station identification. Some of you have no idea what's going on still because there's this thing called radio. And I grew up listening to baseball games on the radio and they would always pause and identify the station and that's what they would say. So, for the older generations. Note to self, okay? Don't push your boundaries on others. This can get you in big, big trouble. I speak from experience because Pastor Clint is notorious for pushing his boundaries on other people. This is how it works for me. I get excited about stuff in life and I dive headfirst into it and then I want everyone around me to make adjustments and changes according to what I am excited about. This in itself is a boundary issue. So here's one I've been chewing on. Throw it up on the screen. Doctors Cloud and Townsend, Henry Cloud and John Townsend, wrote a book called Boundaries. Obviously, today, we don't have enough time to dive into all boundaries, but I would say this is a great biblical perspective on healthy boundaries. This is a foundational book in my life, and I would highly recommend that you read it if you want to dive deeper into this subject, okay? Cloud and Townsend said, if you are no longer in control of your device is your master. Okay? So I'm kind of having fun with this side note, but I'm going to step in here into serious Clint for a second and speak clear to you. Listen, people, our society is talking a lot about screen time for children. We need to be concerned about our own screen time. There's nothing wrong with a phone. There's nothing wrong with technology. God's using it in so many really cool ways. But you have to control. You have to set boundaries for yourself. If you can't walk away from your phone and you can't go 10 seconds without grabbing it when you don't even have anything to do with it, there's a problem. Set it down and start practicing discipline. Okay, I'm coming back into the nice guy, all right? Still with me? Everybody still like me? Thank you. I can't do anything if you don't. So I've been working on new routines in my life lately. For years, I would stay up late, and if I had the opportunity to sleep in, I would sleep in. Being a father of four, sleeping in doesn't happen a whole lot. Can I get an amen? But that was the cycle of my life. And when the family would all go to sleep, I would use that time to dig into scripture, dig into any books that I'm reading, have my quiet time, and really go after growing and becoming who I need to be. But in this season of life, I've realized that that's not working out so well. It's not effective anymore. That there needs to be an adjustment made in order for me to keep going where I need to go in Christ. as a man, as a leader, as a father, as a husband. So I flipped my schedule and have started now for 5 weeks trying to go to bed early and waking up early and changing a lot about what I do. I was that guy that said, I am not a morning person. And I have made myself become a morning person. If you think you can't change, you're wrong. You can change. So a couple Saturdays ago, listen at me pushing boundaries on you guys. Did you catch that? Sorry, it just comes out. Lord, forgive me. A couple Saturdays ago, I wake up at 5:30 a.m. 5:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning is just so beautiful. There's solitude, there's peace, there's quiet. There's no one rummaging through the home and yelling and screaming. I'm kind of joking, not joking. It's peaceful. I get up at 5:30 a.m. on this day. The first hour I spent at exercise, scripture, and prayer. And then 2 hours after that, I'm getting work done and just cranking it out. It was awesome. Keep in mind, this is my family day, though. And I'm supposed to be spending quality time with Lindsay, relaxing. It didn't turn out so well. Here's how it goes. I'm all geared up from working. I'm leaning into Boundaries by Cloud and Townsend, and I've got this device quote in the back of my mind. I'm thinking, I need to be better with my phone. I need to be better at this. I'm going to change these boundaries. I'm going to change the world. Lindsay comes in, unaware. I'm chomping at the bit. She grabs her phone to look at the weather, and I say, don't grab your phone! It wasn't quite that harsh, but it was pretty harsh. Lindsay set a boundary with me that day. It was bad, y'all. I'm trying to be good up here because she's sitting on the front row. So as I do not get in trouble. I'm just kidding. She's really sweet. I've been thinking a lot about a name and the significance of it. There is power in a name. All through the Old Testament and the New Testament, a name meant everything. We see it a little different today, but it still means everything. It meant what God thought of someone. It meant what they thought of themselves, and it meant what others thought of them as well. A couple weeks ago, I had lunch with longtime friend Sam Farina. Sitting down with a couple other people at a table. And I began to be reminded of what Sam meant to my life. Because 10 years ago, Sam taught me what emotional intelligence was all about. Sam taught me how to be a strong leader, to tell people what Clint think, to walk in confidence. And as he's sitting there talking, the guy's a relational genius. He's just oozing out everything God's teaching him, and he's learning, and I'm sitting there just writing all these notes, everything I can get down in a book, books that he's reading, whew, soaking it up. And I thought back to the difference in Sam. Sam looked at me differently. Sam treated me differently. Sam valued me differently. Sam spoke to me differently. He spoke of me differently. This mentor type gave confidence to an unconfident young leader and minister. He saw the Clint that I would be, not the Clint that I was. And I'm saying, God, thank you for that relationship. Because Sam named me. It was the foundation that he helped lay, that God used for me to do what I'm doing today. He named me. Be careful who you allow to name you. Be careful who you allow to label you. Be careful who you name, and be careful who you label, because it means everything. Some of us have been crippled for life because someone named us and we believe them. You don't have to live that anymore. God is the one in the naming business. What he speaks of you is what matters. As I've grown and matured, I began to realize something. And it's not necessarily about what someone else is saying of me or how they're naming me or labeling me. It's more about labeling and naming myself. And you have to be able to name yourself. Because naming yourself is between you and God. Speak life over yourself. Quit negatively labeling yourself. I can't wake up. I don't like exercise. I don't like to read. I'm overweight. I'm not a nice person. People, we are killing ourselves. Scripture says so, Proverbs 18:21. It says, words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. We need to take this passage with us everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. You are made in God's image. Your creator gave you the power to create with your words. So like the scripture says, choose wisely. Choose wisely. There's an art to naming yourself. It's an ever-going process. I sat under some teaching just a few weeks ago. Person sharing was talking about learning. To learn is something that we as people, at least at some point in our lives, we've dug into this cycle of life. To invest in myself, to better myself in some form or fashion. Then there's a second level. And it's to unlearn. This is profound because if we can't unlearn some of the things that we've already learned, then we can't go to the next stage of what God has for us in life. There's something to saying, God, I know the things that got me here aren't going to get me to where you're taking me. I need to unlearn these things so that I can grow and become more like you and be ready for the next season. And the last thing is to relearn. The unlearning gives the gateway to relearn. I would say that this is the art of reinvention. You as a human being, certainly as a follower of Christ, that you should be considering, how am I reinventing myself on my journey with God? Because things that stay stagnant die. And or are dead. So if there's never any change, if there's never any processing, if there's never any cycle, you're done. Scripture says that you are a new creation. In Christ, you are a new creation. I am a new creation. But although you are new, you should always be renewing. Although you are new, you should always be renewing. Renew your mind. So to summarize, you're responsible for you. No is a complete sentence, and we ought to be naming ourselves. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Watch over your heart with all diligence. Boundaries start and stop there. I believe that God is using today to speak to many people, or he should be. If you're not hearing, it's not because he's not speaking. I would pray that you would open your heart and your mind to what God has for you today. And at all locations, we're going to do things a little bit different. I'm going to ask that in your notes, in the North News, on YouVersion, pulling out a notepad or getting ready to type something, I want you to write and reflect what God is speaking to you in regards to boundaries. Maybe it's that personal boundary that you need to change. Maybe it's an approach to life or a relationship that you need to adjust. Maybe you need to take control of naming yourself and not listening to what other people are saying or what the enemy's saying or the lies that are in your head. Instead, saying, God, you and I, we're going to do this together, and I'm going to name myself. That's between you and God. Just pray and say, God, what are you speaking to me? And begin to write down what he is speaking to you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for everything that you do for us. I thank you for your example, for Scripture, for Jesus' example, for the example of so many others of what biblical boundaries could and should look like, Lord. Help us. Open our hearts and our minds to what you're speaking to us today. As we begin to write in just a few moments, that the Holy Spirit would lead us as we're writing, that you would give us the courage to make the change that we need to make. Thank you for our brothers and sisters. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, thank you for the power to choose. Help us to choose what's right. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the North Church Podcast. We hope that you have been encouraged and empowered by the Word of God. For more information about North Church, check out our website at north.church. There you can view more messages and join us for experiences live online. You can also subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great week, and remember to love God, love people, and follow Jesus.